in the case of Nautilus Insurance against the Condominium Association.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Scott Kogan on behalf of the appellant in this case. We believe the crux of the issue boils down to that the lower court committed error by granting summary judgment on the completed products exclusion, given that there were material issues of fact as to whether the work was actually completed. Two affidavits were submitted in contravention of Nautilus's motion for summary judgment, that of Ms. San De Diego and that of Mr. Shipka, which clearly indicated that the work had not been put forth to its intended use at the time the condominium had yet to be turned over back in May of 2000, that Ms. San De Diego gave an affidavit indicating that there was still ongoing construction in the common areas. Based on those facts, the court should have denied summary judgment. We believe that the court leaped to the conclusion and made the assumption, while it may be a reasonable assumption, that since the folks were living there, that the work had been put forth to its intended use, and that there was no material issue of fact as to whether the products completed exclusion applied. However, the facts in this case were in dispute. There was a dispute as to whether the work had actually been completed.
Were the first claims arising out of asserted damage to things other than the building itself?
I'm sorry, what were the first claims?
When were the first claims? That is, the insurer says in its brief that the first claims arising from damage other than to the building itself were in 2004, and it observes that its policies run from 1998 to 2000.
Yes.
And I looked for the answer to that contention in your reply brief and didn't see it addressed. So this is your chance to address it.
The first claim in the case was in May of 2000.
I didn't ask when the first claim in the case was. I asked when the first claim for injury to the contents of the units, that is, something other than the building structure itself. When was that first claim made?
According to our response to the motion for summary judgment and the affidavit of Ms. San De Diego, that claim was made, that claim was discovered in May of 2000. Now, Nautilus's argument is here that...
I wish you would address my question. I didn't ask when a particular tenant discovered something. I asked when the first claim was made.
To the insurance company?
Yes.
The first claim to the insurance company would have been made
when was it made?
It was
Don't
made.
Use the subjunctive in response to a question about when something happened.
When the original complaint was filed. That's when the insurance company first had notice.
And when was that?
I'm conceding that's well after 2004.
After 2004?
That's when the first complaint is made and the insurance company has notice. But the issue here is whether this product's completed exclusion applies. And the product's completed exclusion...
The insurance company is saying that it has a different defense other than products completed. It prevailed in the district court on the theory that the policy doesn't cover damage to the building itself. And it now says that independent of this product's completed business, its policies had expired before the first claim was made to anything other than the building itself. Now, that defense may be good or it may be bad, but as far as I can see, you've simply ignored it, and I'm trying to see whether it's good or bad.
Well, I'm saying that it's bad. I'm saying that it's not a good defense because...
So why didn't you put this in your reply brief?
Well, I believe I did put it in my reply brief. But if I haven't put it in my reply brief, the simple point of the matter is that when you're making a decision as to whether there's going to be insurance in this case, because the second amended complaint alleged that there was property damage in the interior to the unit, to the personal property, that states a cause of action for coverage. And when that claim was made to Nautilus, they agreed to that they had a duty to file the declaratory judgment action, which was brought in this case. And then the issue became, if there is property damage to personal property, then the issue becomes whether the exclusion applies. Because their defense to simply say there's no property damage here, well, there is a claim of property damage in the second amended complaint. And they do have a duty to defend and to indemnify under that policy, under those circumstances. I think, Your Honors, that the issue here is whether this product's completed exclusion applies. I think even the circuit court acknowledged that once there was the claim made in the second amended complaint, that triggered the coverage in the policy. And the insurance company had the obligation to either defend under the reservation or bring the declaratory judgment action, which they did. The court leaped to the conclusion that simply because people were living in their units at the time, their particular units, that the exclusion would apply and therefore granted summary judgment on that basis. I believe that summary judgment was granted on that basis and not that there wasn't any property damage if you review the memorandum opinion. In any event, the issue with the exclusion is that it looks to the language of what constitutes that part of the work done at the job site. Now, that part of the work done at the job site, we submit to you, would be the work to the common areas. And because there was still work ongoing in the common areas, as Mr. Shipka, the vice president of the developer, indicated in his affidavit, there was still ongoing work going on in the common areas until the turnover, which was until the latter part of 2000. Since that work was still ongoing, then the product in this case, under the product's completed operations hazard, could not have been put to its intended use. The assumption I believe that the lower court made and that Nautilus strenuously argues here is that the completed product was the actual units, the specific units that the homeowners were living in at the time. But I think that's erroneous. I think the argument here clearly is that the product is the common areas. And since there was still ongoing work in the common areas, there had to be an issue of fact. I see that my time is up, and I will proceed with my rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Kogan. Mr. Shores.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel. To expand a little bit on Judge Easterbrook's question, there are two issues that are raised in this appeal. One is we have the scope of the insuring agreement in the Nautilus policy, which requires property damage caused by an occurrence during the policy period. Then the second one is the alternative argument of the product's completed operations exclusion. To answer Judge Easterbrook's question on when the first claim was made for damage to something other than the building, the record reveals that there is no claim on the record prior to the allegation of in the underlying complaint that the damage was first discovered in October of 2004, which was 4 years after all of the Nautilus coverage had expired. So because the only damage that could fall within the scope of the insuring agreement was damage to the contents.
The question you would think, was this an occurrence policy or a claims-made policy?
An occurrence policy.
Right. So the question is when the damage occurred, not when the damage was discovered.
That's true, Your Honor.
Why should we think that the damage occurred after the expiration of the policy?
Well, because the standard for determining the duty to defend, and the consequential duty to indemnify is whether or not there's an allegation of property damage that occurred during the policy period. And there is no allegation of property damage that occurred during the policy period, and there's no extrinsic evidence outside the four corners of the complaint that establishes.
When did they first indicate an occurrence of property damage? When did that occur?
Well, we can't pinpoint the date when that first occurred. The only thing we know from the underlying complaint is that it was first discovered in October 2004. What we do know is that the damage to the personal property wouldn't have occurred prior to anybody living in the building. And that would obviously get to the other question of the exclusion. But again, the burden of proof in establishing coverage within the scope of the policy is on the insured. And the insured hasn't put forth any evidence, either in the form of allegations in the underlying complaint or evidence extrinsic to the four corners of the complaint, that any property damage, meaning damage to something other than the building, occurred during the policy period of the Nautilus policies.
Were the property damage claims? What did they relate to physically? What kind of?
That's not clear. The only allegation in the underlying complaint is that there was personal property within the building that was damaged. There's nothing that's specifically alleged, and despite our best efforts, we weren't able to get any specific information
like
on what that
or
was.
Whatever.
We don't know. We don't know. It certainly was in that category as far as what was alleged, but we don't have any actual information in the record as to what the specific nature of that damage to personal property was. But again, we're talking about the whether it comes within the scope of the coverage. That's an issue that the insured has to put forth, and here that was not put forth either through the allegations or any other evidence in the record. So switching then to the exclusion, even if you get beyond the scope of coverage, then the issue is the exclusion for damage within the product's completed operations hazard. And what the record shows is that, number one, the damage to personal property would have only occurred after a resident moved into a completed unit. Second thing the record shows is that, number one, the underlying complaint alleges that the source of the water infiltration was the exterior walls, and the testimony of Randall Silvaggio, the general superintendent on the project, was that that work was done before anybody moved in. So you had the units completed and the source of the water, the alleged source of the water infiltration was completed. And so that would fit within the standard in the definition of products completed operations hazard, that quote unquote, that part of the work done at the job had been put to its intended use. So even if you get beyond the scope of coverage, any damage to personal property would have been within the product's completed operations hazard because it was in that part of the work that had been put to its intended use.
Was there any other litigation with regard to this construction project?
Other than the underlying case?
Yes.
Not that I know of. And we haven't really addressed the estoppel question, but as we noted in our brief, the first two complaints that were filed in the underlying case alleged only damage to the building itself, not damage to anything other than the structure that the insured was working on. So it was clear from the face of those two complaints that there was no coverage, there was no duty to either defend under a reservation of rights or seek a declaratory judgment. That arose only, if at all, when the second amended complaint was filed, and Nautilus timely filed that within approximately 4 months, and so estoppel shouldn't be applied either. Unless there are other questions, I would ask the court to affirm the underlying ruling. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shores. Anything further, Mr. Kogan?
Thank you. Briefly, I think the key point here is that it is, in fact, an occurrence policy. So what we're looking at is the date of the occurrence, what constitutes the date of the occurrence. And on summary judgment, we don't look at the pleadings. Counsel's arguing, well, what was alleged? We look to what the affidavits say, what the depositions say. And the affidavits indicated that that occurrence took place in or was discovered, at least initially, in May of 2000. And significantly, as Mr. Shipka's affidavit indicates, they didn't even turn over the association, the building to the association, until I believe it was fall of 2000. So the developer at that time still had control. It still had control of the premises. And so if you look at this products completed exclusion, and I understand that it does apply in cases of construction, but, you know, calling it a product is at least somewhat ambiguous in that regard, because there isn't a turnover of the yet. So the developer is still in control. And the affidavits indicate that the developer is still doing work sufficient enough to cause interference of the use of the common areas, which is the product. So that creates the material issue effect. You have to hear from witnesses.
But was the developer wasn't in control of the unit itself, though, right?
That's correct. I agree with that. The developer wasn't in control of the individual units. It was in control of the common areas. It still hadn't turned over the building in its entirety to the association. So there were still issues involved. And Mr. Shipka's affidavit indicates that it hadn't been put yet to its intended use, the common areas. That creates an issue of fact. I recognize that counsel submitted the deposition of Mr. Savagino, and I submit to you that, like the Brennan case, his testimony is somewhat equivocal when he talks about trim being done and he uses certain words, and you can look at his deposition testimony, but we believe that creates a material issue of fact here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.